Well, good morning. It is Friday, October the 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this day by opening up shop, as we said yesterday. Let's turn on our inmost being, our soul, our spirit, our heart, our mind. Let's wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's like Jesus will come in and turn on the lights. That's what we need this day. And that's why we say, Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Some of Them Paid No Attention to Moses, Where Maggots Come From. Our text is Exodus chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Moses said to them, No one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. So those seven significant words from yesterday's text. The Israelites did as they were told, Exodus 16:17. Maybe we spoke too soon. Moses spoke clearly. No one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. What might it mean that they paid no attention? There must be a spectrum of possibilities here. A, they didn't actually hear what he said. B, they didn't understand what he meant. C, they heard the command and forgot. D, they heard the command and considered it was unjust. E, they heard the command and were afraid they would not have enough. F, they heard the command and considered it didn't apply to them. G, they heard the command and considered they merited an exception to the rule. H, they heard the command and paid it no regard. Or I, they heard the command and willfully defied the authority. All of this only begins to unfold the nuance of disobedience and sin. We see a spectrum ranging from ignorance to negligence to recklessness to willfulness. The bottom line, it is sin at every level. It misses the mark. There's another line of analysis here. Why would they keep the manna overnight? Maybe they took more than enough to begin with. Maybe they feared there would not be a fresh supply the next day. Is there any real harm here? What if it were toilet paper? What if the Lord put on our doorstep each morning just enough toilet paper for one day? And what if he instructed us to keep none until morning? Would we obey? Only if we really trusted God. We want to trust God, but we also want a backup plan. We want to hedge the bet. Just in case our toilet paper, manna, doesn't show up one day, What's so bad about that? Maybe it's not a matter of good versus bad or obedience versus disobedience. What if the real issue is fear versus faith? Will we trust in God's provision or our own? This is the lesson of the wilderness. Jesus had something to say on this point. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's Matthew 6, 25 and 26. This is so challenging. I'll admit, it even seems unreasonable. We can disagree with it. We can even choose to pay no attention to it. One thing we can't do is say he didn't mean it. At a very minimum, we must grapple with it. The kingdom of God is a very different place than the kingdom of the world. And the wilderness is the place where it all gets sorted out. The wheat from the chaff. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. When we don't pay attention to the instructions of God, we run the risk of seeing the happiness of manna turn into the horror of maggots. How can something so good turn into something so bad? I think we know the answer. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Would you reveal to me the deeper wisdom of your will and ways in the wilderness? I'm not a hoarder, but I do like a backup plan. I want to believe I trust you, and yet something about this teaching challenges me to ask deeper questions of myself. I have absolutely no reason not to trust you, and yet I hedge. Deliver me from my fearfulness that there will not be enough. Deliver me into a state of trusting in you. In fact, I welcome you to deliver me into an unreasonable faith, a faith that stretches beyond reason. Something tells me that would please your heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 The journal prompts today. So back to the faith fear scaling exercise. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of fear that you do not or will not have enough to provide for your needs? Now subtract that number from 10, and you will have your level of faith that God will supply all your needs. What about that? Does your fear of maggots exceed your fear of not enough manna? So, right, let's just say your fear is 6 or a 7, that there won't be enough provision to meet your needs. 10 minus 7 is 3. That means you have faith, a level 3 of faith. And you remember the way to move that number isn't to try to have less fear or to try to have more faith. It's to actually get your focus onto God, who God is, what He's like, what He's done in the past, how He has come through. Let that vision begin to become your vision again, and faith will begin to rise up naturally. That's a good exercise. A lot of times I'll talk to people about this, and they'll want to tell me that their fear is at like a 6 and their faith is at like a 9 or a 10. And I'm like, no, it's really not. If your fear is at a 6, your faith is at a 4. Let's don't self-shame or look down on ourselves. Let's just call it what it is. Let's be real. We all are real people. Fear is real. It's reality. Let's not try to deny it. And let's certainly not try to be, you know, religious and impress anybody. Let's just keep it real. God deals with us as we are, not as we should be. He deals with our real self, not our imagined self. And so let's just bring that person before the Lord. Good, the bad, the ugly. He can handle it all. He loves you. No more pretending, no more masks. We're going to sing a great hymn of the vision of God's faithfulness today as we close. It's going to be "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It's number 44 in our hymnal, our seedbed hymnal, our great Redeemer's praise. 3 verses, we'll sing them all in just a minute, but number 44, one of the great hymns of the church, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And, you know, this kind of reminds me back again to just a week ago, we were standing on the near shore of the Red Sea, and we were seeing all the chariots broken and strewn across the landscape, the chariots of Pharaoh's army, the armies of Egypt washing up on the shore. And they stopped, and Miriam had written a song. "I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the rider He has thrown into the sea." And you remember the reading and the reflection we had last week on that. The way is made by worship. I wonder how you're doing with that. Have you stopped and raised an Ebenezer, right? "Hither by thy help I'm come." The Lord has been faithful to bring us thus far. You see, this is how faith rises, is when we regularly stop and recall and remember what God has done, what God is like. "I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the driver He has thrown into the sea." He has hurled into the sea. He moved the mountain. This is the vision of God that we have to keep constantly before us, because everything around us, all the apparent evidence we're looking at, tells us like, well, there's not going to be enough, and there's not enough for you, much less for you to share with anybody else. And this is what produces the maggots in our life. Well, let's sing here together. Let's just sing a celebration. Let's not get down on ourselves. Let's not look at our failures. Let's look at God's faithfulness. That's what we want to do today on this Friday, the day the Lord has made. We want to magnify the great faithfulness of God. You ready? Number 44. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. What a hymn. It's the kind of hymn we ought to sing every day, huh? Just keeping the vision of God's faithfulness from the past right in front of us. That's where faith comes from. Not trying to have more faith, not thinking we ought to have more faith, not feeling bad about ourselves because we have fearfulness. No, faith comes from the vision, the lifting up of God's faithfulness. I will sing to the Lord, Miriam wrote, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. Yep, that's what Friday is going to be about. We are going to win Friday because we've already won the morning. And now we're going to go out and celebrate by sowing seeds of his faithfulness in the hearts of others. Everywhere you go, the grocery store, the drive-up window, the school line, the place of work, everywhere you go, be ready with seeds. Jesus is ready to sow them. He's sown them in you. Now he wants to sow them through you. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.